Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. It is June the 1st, 2020, at 5 p.m. Eastern, and I've opened the book, The Talmud of Emmanuel, to chapter 18. I'm going to read a little bit about the Nicodemian line. That's the line of incarnations of the spirit form that now dwells in Billy Meyer. And thus the true prophets had come as former celestial sons in order to teach the human species the true laws and recommendations of creation. Celestial sons means extraterrestrial. And the knowledge about the truth and the life sown in the true teaching and far away from the confused and false teachings of the false prophets, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high council and the scribes. The true prophets are descended from the Nicodemian line, from the forefather, originator of the Nicodemian prophet line, from whom the mission and the dissemination of the teaching has been built up over billions of years since Nicodemus' creation of the teaching of the prophets, exclusively through the rebirths and reincarnations of his spirit form and new personalities always connected with it. I believe the spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer is 9.6 billion years old, could be older. The original home of Nicodemian, home world and home system, has long since passed and has dissolved in accordance with the creational natural law in the process of becoming and passing, since Nicodemian's original time of existence, innumerable rebirths of his spirit form have arisen, which naturally have animated new innumerable personalities over and over again, namely up into the 21st century. From Nicodemian's line, an entire people has originated, which has spread to certain parts of the universe, not only in the space-time configuration of the Dern universe, in which Nicodemian was active, but also in our space-time configuration. Wow, that is going to take a little thought. It's very interesting here because they're referring, our universe is the Dern universe. And it almost, this almost implies that our space-time configuration is somehow different than the space-time configuration of the Dern universe. Let me read that again. From Nicodemian's line, an entire people has originated, which has spread to certain parts of the universe, not only in the space-time configuration of the Dern universe in which Nicodemian was active, but also to our space-time configuration. So what that means is the Nicodemian line has been in our space-time configuration and in other space-time configurations in the Dern universe. So Nicodemian was active in other space-time configurations of the Dern universe besides our own. Of course, from the first Nicodemian people, the Pleiaren, have arisen in the course of time who reside in the old space-time configuration and who call our universe the Dern universe. Eventually, now I'm going to have to stop on that again. Bear with me, please. From the first Nicodemian people, the Pleiaren have arisen in the course of time who reside in the old space-time configuration. So the Pleiaren evidently live in an older space-time configuration than we do. That's what I pull away from that. Eventually, at earlier times, the large group of Lyrians, the ancestors of the Pleiaren, as well as large groups of Plaron themselves, also came to the Earth and procreated with the so-called modern human beings, from which the first original Homo Faber and ultimately the Homo sapiens arose. And we studied that not long ago, ironically, when we studied the OM a couple Saturdays ago. Very early on, the travelers from the far regions of the firmament were designated as gods and celestial sons. So also those travelers from afar who were descended from the Nocodemian line. But together with these also the reincarnated or reborn spirit form of Nocodemian came to the earth, namely in a human body whose personality was called Henoch. As such, Henoch-Nocodemian created the line of the true prophets on the earth, in which case at a later time, Henoch was the first prophet of the prophet line. This was also determined in accordance with the directive of the pure spirit level of Erhat Athrasata, who enacted that in a sevenfold sequence, seven true prophets had come forth, in which case that the Erhat Athrasata level, they were assigned the task / mission of bringing the teaching of the prophets to the human beings of the earth, instructing them thereby in the creational natural laws and recommendations. So when one of the Nocodemian line came to the earth through the personality called Henoch, is very interesting. It's talking about Erhat Athrasata, which is one of the spirit levels. See, the spirit form and the human being evolves through seven stages. The first stage is primitive. It's called primitive. The second is called rational life. The third is intelligent life. The fourth is real life. The fifth is creational life and creational wisdom. Then there's number six, which is the half physical, half spirit form. And then seven is the complete spirit. You're completely a spirit when you're in the seventh stage. And then there are seven stages themselves in the spirit level. And I believe Erhat Athrasata might be the first level of the spirit level. But I guess it says here, and I will read this again because it's important. This was determined in accordance with the directive of the pure spirit level, Erhat Athrasata, who enacted that in a sevenfold sequence, seven true prophets had to come forth, in which case, through the Erhat Athrasata, they were assigned the task of bringing the teaching of the prophets to the human beings of Earth and instructing them thereby in the creational natural laws and recommendations. Finally, what still must be said is that unfortunately, besides the true prophets of the Nocodemian line, false prophets and false wise ones appeared over and over again all throughout the world and led the human beings of the earth into confusion with tremendous lies, fantasies, irrational teachings, and made them dependent on godheads and tin gods as well as holy ones and on all sorts of cultic nonsense. From this, all sorts of cults and therefore religions and sects come into being, whose believers wrongly call and worship and glorify godheads and tin gods, as well as holy ones. And unfortunately, it is still also the case today that liars, cheaters, and religious as well as sectarian fanatics uplift themselves as false prophets or as gods, whereby those who are naive, who have fallen to them in belief, continue to go along wrong pathways and wander very far from the truth. But the people are still without understanding and indulging in the false laws of the chief priests, the distorters of the writings, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Consequently, they do not recognize the new teaching and the truth, which is the old teaching, the teaching of the prophets, and is called the teaching of the truth, the teaching of the Spirit, the teaching of life. Lacking understanding, they curse the truth, which yet must get through. They curse the true prophets and stone, kill, and impale them. But since the teaching of the truth, the teaching of the Spirit, the teaching of the life must be brought among the people, the true prophets have to bear great burdens and suffering under the curse of the people. Just as they persecuted the true prophets, they also seek after my life. This is Billy speaking. Billy as Emmanuel, and will seek after the life of the prophet of the new time, the new time from 1844. The providence of the determination says that it shall also come true for me, insofar that I am an innocent man, will be declared guilty. However, it will not come to pass that I am killed, for while in a state of near death, I will be considered dead for 3 days and three nights and will be placed in a rock tomb, so the parable of Jonah will be fulfilled. Helpers, friends from a distant land who are well versed in the art of healing will be my nurses and benefactors until my escape, flight from the tomb on the third day. So then my calling mission task will be finished among the foreign people in a distant land with the rising sun, since my pathway leads me there. It shall come to pass, I will obtain a new cognition, increase my knowledge, and generate a new power in the spirit consciousness, so that I can understand dying and near death, and can teach about it. Well, a little bit about Nicodemian, and about the Talmud of Emmanuel, and about what happened in the ancient past with the Lyrians and the Pleiarians. That was a nice little tangent. I thought I enjoyed that. It's just the kind of thing you could spend a lot of time talking about. But we're back to the Might of the Thoughts book, which is a very important book, which I think equips us for day-to-day life very much. And remember, there's a group of these, let's call them verses for lack of a better word, that I say it's good to speak. Now, you're speaking to your own consciousness, and that information comes back to you. Even if you're in a state of what I would call locked-in negative thinking, if you can force yourself to recall and speak these out loud, it will help you put yourself back into a neutral, positive state. And then you can be the smith of your own life again. In other words, you can be the forger of your own fortune and the creator of your own destiny. But you have to be in neutral, positive thinking to do that. So this is what I tell myself. I am confident. I'm optimistic. I'm relaxed. I'm cheerful. I'm enthusiastic. I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. I nurture my thoughts. I clarify my thoughts. It is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone Any conceivable thing can be brought to fruition. What I mightfully think manifests for me. What I mightfully think manifests for me. Unsatisfaction kills off all initiative in striving for that which is higher. And suffering is an effect of some form of wrong thinking. So incidents of suffering in the life are indicators that the law of harmony has been broken and disregarded. The life always forms according to the thoughts that are chosen, tended, and nurtured. When tangled ideas confuse the thoughts and cause them to go from one extreme to another, which creates a misdirection of the thoughts, which triggers emotions, that can lead to murder and manslaughter. There is no room for rationality in these basically wrong ideational thoughts, for only irrationality lives there in highly emotional forms. Therefore, in every regard, the human being must trust himself and in his or her own power. However, thoughts without power and might are like a body without vitality, like a fire without warmth, like a word without sense. So it's really good to get a group of these that you can recall and help to bring your thoughts back into that harmony, into that balance. And you'll put yourself back into the all-calming influence of creation, which, of course, is pretty much always our goal. So let's talk a little bit. I call this, it's just my own term, the kind of the life cycle of a thought. We have an idea or a perception, something of that nature. That idea is fertilized, which means it is tended, it is nurtured, it is cared for. In other words, you're encouraging a hopeful thought that you're having. You're strengthening it. You're helping it along. Without fertilization, these seeds, ideas, would not become real. But after the thought is cared for, it becomes animated. It becomes part of the physical world in some way. So your thoughts begin to manifest. The thoughts then develop their own life. And this is very interesting. It's exactly like a plant that develops from a seed. So if you look at someone like Einstein or Tesla, their thoughts last for centuries. The thoughts can last many, many years beyond the physical life of the person that originated those thoughts. Think of the music of Bach. And how many centuries people will hear and benefit from those thoughts, or Mozart, or Wagner, or even some people that might be popular today. After they're dead, their thoughts, their music will live on. The thoughts not only then develop their own life, but their own power and might. So that's interesting. All acts and deeds are the flowers of the thought. And their monstrous might. So, our thoughts are really the key to coming in control of our life. And what we have to work at it like a blacksmith, banging on a piece of metal. We're just hammering, we're heating, we're forging, we're pounding on this thought to have it form in the way we want. We're forging the metal. We're using tools to hammer, to bend, to cut. So when we use the might of the thoughts, we are like hammering a piece of metal into place. Whatever the human being is the result of his own thoughts. I want to continue here, and this I'll talk a little bit about negative thoughts. Because if the negative thoughts dominate your mentality, they're very, very destructive. And I think we're inculcated with negative thinking. You know, there's just brutal violence in our in our media. We're put in a school system, and a lot of times our teachers will abuse us or humiliate us. There's a whole system for generating negative thoughts, unfortunately. So we have to fight against that. But negative thoughts, if negative thoughts are maintained in this way, in other words, if they're dominating your psyche, regardless of whether it is knowing or unknowing, the negative effects will follow. So if you're churning about some issue at work and upset about it and repeating it, you need to break out of that, which is difficult at times. You can have a wish dream, think of something pleasant that you really enjoy. Time with your family, friends, animals, out in nature. Break out of that negative thought pattern, the cycle of negative thoughts. If the thoughts are healthy and are thereby neutral, positive, equalized, then the effect also corresponds to that. However, there is also room. So if you're neutral positive and you're in a pretty good state, allow a negative thought at times. Be careful, because they can have seeds and you'll have weeds in your consciousness. Be careful. But there is also room in the neutral positive thinking for negative inclusions, which should not simply be suppressed, but rather be processed in a neutral, positive, equalized way in order to achieve an effective equalization. So how do you know if you've effectively equalized things, if you're neutral? If you find yourself becoming sad after this negative thought, then you kind of drop the ball and you need to pull yourself back together. One must not think in only a purely positive or only a purely negative form, rather precisely in a neutral, positive, equalized form. Now this is interesting, with the same amount of both parts. Joy and sorrow lie very close together, just as day and night, or rainy weather and sunshine. Thus, in the life of the human being, joy follows sorrow, always alternating according to the form of the thinking which allows its power and might to prevail in a negative or positive form. So you can have mightful thoughts that are negative. You can have mightful thoughts that are positive. But you harm yourself if you're overly positive or overly negative. So you don't want to go into what's called a sartan, or out of control of good human nature. So therein lie in the grounds for why a healthy form of thinking consists of a neutral positive, equalized thinking. As a matter of fact, the human being is not an artificial creation, but the creation of creational intelligence and thereby creation, which has evolved through the law of universal creation. So evolution is the way creation works. I think the transhumanists are trying to skip ahead in their evolution. Through the law of universal creation, of universal consciousness, this applies to the woman as it does to the man and to the children. But the law of universal creation is a law of cause and effect, as applies to all creational areas of law. And precisely this law says that every thought enlivened by might and power must, as a cause, also bring a quite certain effect. Everything which is kept concealed pertaining to the human being becomes obvious as a result of this cause-effect principle, since it is absolutely unwaveringly exposes the mysterious realms of the thinking Once the effects of the thoughts become visible, audible or perceptible, and indeed for the particular human being, himself or herself, as well as for others, the effects of the causal thoughts are therefore as visible as material things in the world. So there's this very powerful cause-effect principle, which the thoughts have. So if you have a noble character, this is not because of random chance, but it's a matter of self-determined good positive destiny and are the natural result of the right neutral positive equalized thinking. And we want to tend our thoughts. We want to have constant efforts to nurture these kind of thoughts. Like groveling thoughts. You don't want to have groveling thoughts. So we're actually the creator of our own character, of our own personality. We create the state of our psyche. And the psyche, as you remember, controls the thoughts and the feelings of the material consciousness. And something called the gamut controls the thoughts and the feelings of the spiritual consciousness. So we have two kinds of consciousness. And we have to remember that. It's important to keep that in mind. And the spiritual consciousness is associated with your spirit form. And the spirit form will send you guiding, quiet impulses of wisdom. And Semyase talked about that a little bit. She says, every human has a spirit form that never sleeps and never dies. It will record everything that you think, all of your impulsations, and it will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong, if you've learned to pay attention to it. So these little quiet impulses of wisdom that come from the spirit form are direction determining. So the psyche will pick up on these. The material consciousness will pick up on these quiet impulses of wisdom. We also have something called the feeling or the Gefühl, which is a part of the psyche that creates the feelings. So the feelings grow out of the thoughts. The thoughts are the foundation and the starting of everything. And we also have something called the sense. It is half material and half spiritual or half fine matter. And it creates these feeling outbursts, which can be called
90 seconds,
called the feeling swinging wave. So that's also part of material consciousness, the psyche, the Gefühl, and the sense, part of our material consciousness. Well, we've run out of time. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. Remember, you are the smith, the blacksmith of your own life, and keep pounding away with those neutral positive thoughts, and the circumstances of your life
60.
Will go well for you. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.